Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I heard this idea that basketball has come up with, which is sort of like this. Let's play horse. Only virtual horse. Which doesn't strike me as an immediately no way. Like, it's not in the Jay Williams, let's have groups of people get onto two separate cruise ships. Like, that sounds like the worst idea of all time. This is not the worst idea of all time, but it's one of those ones that should have been left on the boardroom wall. You know, on the whiteboard. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to play one-on-one. No, we can't play one-on-one because it can't be in the same vicinity. All right, no one-on-one. Let's do horse. Now, horse is one of those things which has a greater image than the actual play out of it. Part of playing horse is that you're in the same gym or on the same court with the other guy. And then there's the whole, I made the shot right here. So not only do they want to do horse, but they want to do virtual horse. Huh? Did I have you at virtual horse? Does that sound in 21st century enough? Look, burning your house down is a bad idea. Going on a road trip right now, or even driving to somebody's house, because people don't think, hey, you know, you might have to stop to go to the bathroom along the way. Like, no, we're just going to drive to our friend's house. They're clean. We're clean. Our kids will play. They got good internet. The dads will work. The moms will be the homeschool teachers. It'll be great. We've had this discussion. I have friends that they're like, well, we got a place. We VRBO'd a place out in the desert. And then on the way out there, we all had to go to the bathroom. We get there and the community pool is closed. Like, these are ideas that when you think them out, they're like, yeah, you're better off just staying at home. For the NBA, which has a product that needs and wants ratings, during a time in which we kind of need and want some sports, I get it. You want to get your stars in front of a camera. You want to create some sort of normalcy. You want to have something where they compete. You want to do it where you maintain social distancing because you don't want to offend people who are offended by social distancing, even if everybody tests negative for coronavirus who plays horse in the same gym. I understand. But this is a terrible idea. It's just not a good one. It's just not one that people are going to be into. It's not. You know, it's one of those ones where in an ideas meeting, somebody says, all right, let's flesh it out. How are you going to do it? All right. Okay, I'm kind of done. Now, will there be the aspect of, hey, these guys don't miss regular shots? Like, there is something to NBA players. If you've ever been in a gym or watched shoot around or watched them warm up, you realize they don't, like, wing jump shots, they just don't miss. They don't. But the boredom factor, taking away what makes these guys special, even Steph Curry, obviously taking mid-range, taking long-range shots, taking shots from half court. Like, first, do you think Steph Curry wants to lose? Second, the idea of what Steph Curry does is it's not just cool in warmups. It's that he does that in the game. We have these one-on-air throwing competitions in the summer for NFL players. Those have never rated well. We had the skills competition in the NBA's All-Star Weekend. That doesn't rate crazy well. And I understand that horse gets back to the core of guy shooting in the driveway with his dad, and doesn't matter your size, doesn't matter your actual basketball ability, if you can throw the ball in the bucket, make a creative shot, you can win a game of horse. I get it. We're all searching for something. I heard the idea, but it's not a good one. Ask yourself this. Right now they're playing Bulls-Knicks from when Derrick Rose was really good. You've watched old NFL games, old college basketball games. You'll watch documentaries. Hell, I'm on my third series. Like, we watched Unorthodox this weekend. Really good. We're now on to Ozark. We've done Cheer. We've done other ones. We're going to do All-American. We've done a bunch of these things. I'm a basketball guy. I love basketball. The idea that people are going to watch dudes shoot, play horse in different gyms. Will there be a looky-loo factor the first time they flip it on? Yes. After that, that does not sound like a strong idea. And it's not because there are no fans, and it's not because they're not in the same gym. It's because it's not really basketball, and it's trying just a bit too hard.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I've heard this this comparison before, and it's not just a Cam Newton, but Gronk yesterday won WrestleMania. I got to tell you, I'm not anti-wrestling guy. I didn't watch. Was it good? Ramos, did you watch WrestleMania?
I've never watched one. Never cared for wrestling, ever.
Music, are you a wrestling guy? Have you ever been put in a suplex, put somebody else in a suplex? Figure four?
I used to watch wrestling when I was much, much younger,
yes.
But I haven't in quite some time now.
Yeah.
And I did not watch over the weekend.
They've done some genius stuff, right? They've basically made it like a soap opera so that, you know, you can kind of latch onto your childhood where you like wrestling, because everybody liked wrestling at some point as a kid. And then you combine it with like a guy's soap opera, you know, beautiful women, good looking dudes, who's into who, what's going on. Like the divas have their own thing. It's just not my thing, right? Like my bandwidth is not, I'm still catching up on all these shows that everybody else been watching because I watch sports. But Gronk won. And then, so what you're getting is you'll get people say, well, Bill Belichick put up with Gronk for years. Of course he put up with Cam Newton. Right? Cam Newton's not nearly the distraction off the field. Cam Newton isn't a distraction off the field. The only thing distracting about Cam Newton is he wears really cool suits and hats and odd scarves on his head. That's about it. So if Rob Gronkowski can become a likely Hall of Famer with the New England Patriots, why can't Cam Newton be the starting quarterback for a year or two? Here's Scott Pioli on with Zach Gelb talking about Cam Newton on the Patriots.
I don't see those two coexisting together. And not because the personalities and the beliefs of how the game should be played and is played, and it seems like oil and water. You know, I just see them as being very different personalities and having very different approaches to the game. Bill understands he believes in football more than entertainment. Cam believes that football and entertainment are almost equal partners, and which, you know, in this day and age it is, but Bill has the soul of a football man, and I couldn't see that one working out too well. And if it did, it would have to be for probably one season.
Okay, so look, they're different dudes. In addition to skill set and style, here's the thing that people continue to miss on. It's different at quarterback. It's different at quarterback. Look, they've obviously chosen Stidham. Hoyer's the backup. They're going to go with as is, play out the season, see how much they can get, see if Stidham's the guy. If he's not, they'll be on to another guy next year, and they'll have a lot more cap freedom. But let's just forget about the cap situation and just talk about the reality of everything for a second. Until you start with this thought, quarterback is different. Is different. Look, you're going to get people who think talking about a quarterback's personality and style is some sort of race baiting when you start talking about Lamar Jackson and we want Lamar Jackson to change positions. Nobody asked him to change positions. Zero. It's not true. It's total BS. Hey, nobody's a racist in dealing with Cam Newton because he's a black quarterback. No, Cam Newton's a former MVP. There's nothing to do with him being black or being white or what. It's just, can you play or can you not play? People hated Jay Cutler's personality. He got made fun of because of his body language. He got beat up on, and most of it was earned. His teammates didn't like him. We ripped on Baker Mayfield. We ripped on Mark Sanchez with the butt fumble. Like, you pick out a quarterback, it doesn't matter. White, black, mixed race, or it doesn't matter. The sport is past that. You may not be, but the sport is past that. It's not about whether or not he's cool with, you know, urban fans. Like, Bill Belichick doesn't care. But what Bill Belichick does care about is, can you play the position and can you run a team in a mature way? Can you figure out a whole new offense? Like, this is not an entertainment-based thing. Like, look, Tom Brady had the Facebook show, which was all off the field, most of it out of season. And that was only after, like, 18 years of service. Right. And most of it was him working with his trainer, him watching film, him hanging out with his kids. That's it. There's the show. You're like, man, I didn't watch it. Now you know why. So, and I understand you want to compare it to Gronk, but nothing is, we don't do this type of deep dive into people's personalities at tight end, because tight end is the position. Are you a pass catching tight end? Are you willing to block? How athletic are you? What's your body like? You know, all those other things. It's not a position of leadership or intelligence, none of that. Right? And just remember, who was Gronk's quarterback, setting a tone for the whole team? In addition to the fact that we've learned that Rob Gronkowski's pretty smart and he does that dumb like a fox thing as kind of an act, we also know that Tom Brady protected everybody because he and Josh McDaniels were doing extra work because they were extra professional. It doesn't mean that Cam isn't professional, but please don't compare Cam Newton saying, well, he'll work because Rob Gronkowski worked with the Patriots. Different position requires different amount of leadership and a different style. There's nothing more important in your offices than having a quarterback who is only about winning football games. Then you factor in, I don't know if he can be a backup. He's got to be a starter. What kind of money does he want? Does he want a one-year deal? Blah, 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 blah. Don't compare a tight end ever, ever to a quarterback. Don't compare anybody to a quarterback.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Jalen Smith joins us from Dallas Cowboys. How you making out, Jalen? How you hanging in?
Man, I'm hanging in there, man. Just got a workout in. Took my dog on the run and back inside, man. Got to stay home, stay safe.
Okay, so tell me what kind of dog.
I have a pit, border collie, and German Shepherd mix.
So it's a mutt?
He's a rescue dog.
Yeah.
His name is Achilles, and he's 2 years old.
Have you had him since he was a puppy? When did you get him?
Yeah, I rescued him at, he was 2 months old, and now he's 2 years old, like almost two and a half. Birthday's December 1st. But he actually has an Instagram. Shout out to my baby, Achilles. Love _ Achilles 9. Please follow him.
All right. He's got his own. My dog Odie has his own. His name is Odell Beckham Jr. Jr. That's his name. He's a Sheepa Doodle. So he's got the big curly hair. And between the curly hair, he used to have huge paws. And he's super, super athletic. So my son's a big OBJ fan. He's Odell Beckham Jr. Jr. We call him Odie. Or Odell.
Respect.
Yeah, respect. Okay, so you said you're getting a workout. Working out the house, in the garage? Do you have your own home gym? Are you Pelotoning it? Like, what are you doing?
Man, big Peloton. Shout out to Peloton. I have a jug machine in my backyard to catch some balls. And just running around the addition. You know, taking it old school, man. Getting my push-ups in, my sit-ups in. Just making it happen, man. My cousin's actually a personal trainer, and he lives right down the street, so he comes in and get me right.
Jalen Smith joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. I know you've been asked about this journey from the injury in your last game at Notre Dame, but did last year when you got that contract extension, did that complete the comeback? Like, what? In that process, what did that all mean to you?
A dream come true. Definitely something that I wanted to accomplish my entire life, getting the big deal. Since I started playing the game of football at 7 years old, you know, I've always wanted to play in the National Football League. You know, obviously I've been through a lot with my injury and things of that nature, but it's all about perseverance, man, having that clear eye view, especially when you talk about times right now where of the millennials, man. We didn't experience a lot, man. We didn't live through 9/11 and the financial crisis and Ebola and, you know, now with this COVID-19, man, it's very important that we stay safe, man, and stay home. I'm definitely an encouragement.
Yeah, no, I hear you. How does this, like, for a guy who was going to be a top 10 pick and you go through what you go through, you had drop foot, of course, like, you know, made the rehab any harder, like, what is more difficult, rehabbing to try and get your career back or being kind of on lockdown? In all honesty, what is tougher for you personally, not being able to see anybody or go out and be yourself and get your regular training in, or what you went through in rehab?
I mean, the rehab was very difficult. I say because, you know, a lot of people thought I'd never ever played a game of football again, and that's, you know, my first love. But this coronavirus, this is an epidemic or a pandemic that, you know, is going to go down in history. We're going to remember this for the rest of our lives, and you know, this, you know, people are dying from this. We have to take this serious. I think they're both challenging, you know, in different respects.
Jalen Smith joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Jerry Jones came out last year and said, hey, there's a plan to get everybody signed. And now most everybody's signed, except you lost Byron, right? And then Dak's still not signed, but he's been franchise tagged. In your mind, was there an actual order to how things were supposed to go, and that order getting screwed up was why everybody's not under contract now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know, an owner of the Dallas Cowboys. I don't, you know, I'm not in control of the managing and player management and all of that good stuff. But that's definitely what Jerry said. I believe that Dak's deal is going to get done. It's just a matter of time. I'm very thankful for everyone that, you know, deal has already gotten done. You know, congratulations to everyone, including myself. Big shout out to Byron Jones, highest paid cornerback. That's my dog, man. So it'll all come together, man, for sure.
What was your reaction to Rex Ryan's comments about Amari Cooper?
Oh, that was ridiculous. 100% do not agree. That was wicked.
Yeah,
wicked is the word.
It was weird because, like, the context of his actual comments, you know, he says, you know, he doesn't perform as well on the road. Like, okay. And then, you know, he breaks off routes. Like, okay. And then when he said turd, it felt very personal, right?
And yeah.
And I don't know whether it's he used the wrong word or there was something, but that was the part that was really strange. It wasn't just that he was critical of a guy for signing a big contract. It was the word that he used. Fair?
It came out of nowhere for me. It was a shocker, and I think the world probably feels the same way as me.
Jalen Smith joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so, like, what is your day like? You said you got a workout, you went for a run with your dog. Now what?
Man, honestly, is cleaning up around the house. Folding some clothes as we speak. you got a couple conference calls later on some business, but man, just relaxing, enjoying this time of leisure. Whether it feels forced or not, it's a blessing to be alive, man. And I believe it's important that we all come together, man. I've been doing a lot, you know, with small businesses. There's so many small businesses in this world that are suffering from this pandemic. So for me, it's just about raising funds, and I'm providing funds myself, you know, to these small business companies.
Yeah, the Jalen Smith Minority Entrepreneurship Institute Showcase last summer in Fort Wayne, Indiana. That's where you expanded the MEI marketplace to the Lone Star State. So, like, you're offering minority entrepreneurs resources, right? So they can start up businesses on their own?
Yes. The financial funding
mentorship and actually helping them with their strategic execution plan. My, you know, the efforts is to try to close the economic and educational gap that we have in this world. And entrepreneurship is dear to my heart. It's a passion, something I've wanted to do my entire life. That's why I've committed over, I've committed $10 million over the next 10 years, $250 this year. We're raising $500 for the Texas marketplace to go out to three winners, you know, of the venture pitch July 10th. With this pandemic going on, we may not have the venture pitch, the actual showcase. However, you know, the funds will still be distributed out to the three winners. It's all about helping, like I said, close the economic and educational gap, and it's definitely needed, you know, at this moment that we're going through in this country.
I'm glad you pointed out. I'm completely with you. I think it's one of the things that we talk so much. This is a personal feeling, so if you disagree, you feel free. We talk so much about college athletes like yourself and the need for those college athletes to get paid. Now, I do think that we've all lost sight of what the idea of a college scholarship has been to so many people, which is breaking down those ceilings where people from, whether it's minorities or people from lower socioeconomic means, can get into and afford college, which creates a world of opportunities. Whether you're a pro athlete or not, just getting into college and being able to not have college debt is incredibly important. And the playing field is still not close to even, but I'm always a believer that that's what a scholarship provides, is more of an evening of the playing field for after college. Is that some of your thing? You don't have to completely agree on this show.
Yeah, man, just providing that opportunity, man. It's about education. It's about, like I said, when you talk about, you know, the economy running, you know, at a fluid pace, you know, the small businesses matter. They have to thrive and be able to, you know, succeed and provide more jobs into this world. So, like I said, it's something that I'm constantly just learning about, and I want to be able to provide. I want to be able to provide. Like I said, it's so much more than just providing financial funding, but, you know, I encourage education, and I encourage, you know, really putting together a great infrastructure. And that's why I partner with, you know, the Sagamore Institute to help me with the due diligence of these companies. I partner with the National Christian Foundation, you know, to help expand this marketplace. It's not about me at all. It's about helping, you know, entrepreneurs be successful and, you know, really narrowing down on the, you know, on the minority entrepreneurs with the black and the brown, the Latinx community. Like I said, just trying to close the economic and educational gap, man. But this pandemic is something that we have to take serious.
Yep.
Because, you know, people are dying.
Yep.
And that's why I'm home. That's why I'm safe. You know, but also trying to learn.
Go to Get Hot Boys. That's GetHotBoys.com to support 70 local businesses that have been affected by the coronavirus. Our thanks to Jalen Smith, the Jalen Smith Minority Entrepreneurship Institute Showcase, which will be in Dallas as of now on July 10th. Jalen, great stuff. Stay safe and take care of Achilles. I'm sure he's having the time of his life.
Man, we got to have a play date when all this is over.
All right, no doubt. My dog will play with any dog, especially a mutt. Thanks so much.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's welcome in. He's a longtime friend of the show, no matter what the network is that he works for, I work for. And, of course, he joins us from Northern California. He's Rick Bucher, Fox Sports 1 and Bleacher Report. Buke, how many walks a day?
Walks a day. Let's see. It's been a little bit because it's been raining. We haven't had great weather here.
Mm.
I don't know that walks include throwing the frisbee for the dog, but so it hasn't been walks. But getting on the spin bike on a regular basis and rebounding for my kids in the backyard—they even did that in the rain. Proud papa when it comes to that.
I love it.
For sure.
I love it. Dog. What kind of dog?
He's a mix. He's a rescue, part pit, part Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Rhodesian Ridgeback. Cool dogs. part Pitt, very loyal.
And now that we have all this at home, we're investigating getting a second one. Since we're at home, might as well take the opportunity to break in a new puppy.
Totally. Now, are you going to do the purebred, or are you going to be better human beings than the rest of us and do a rescue again?
No, we'll do another rescue. We already went through the interview the other day, and there's so many dogs out there. There are so many great dogs out there, yep. And our guy, we had him trained, and he's a joy. And the idea, I don't know, for me, I hate the idea of the dogs that are being put down when that's unnecessary, and I enjoy the idea of giving one more. Saving one more dog and giving it a happy place.
Yeah, all you rescue people, you're such good people. I'm not like that. I know, but I have a daughter. I have a daughter who's allergic, so that's our.
Yeah,
that's
no. I get it both.
That's our
both ways. I'm not. You know, to each his own. I get it. I thought there was a long time where I thought, you know what, I'm going to get a chocolate lab. That's what I want.
Yeah.
But having gone through the experience, and once you, if you explore how many dogs are out there that need homes, yeah. It's like, you know what? I can find a way. I'm going to be choosy about the dog. I'm not going to get a dog that doesn't fit, you know, what I want my dog to be in my house. But that said, there's plenty of options.
Current Netflix show or Amazon show you're working on?
So we're playing catch up. So I'm playing catch up on Ozark right now.
Hey, listen, I just saw the first one, the very first episode last night. So we're with you.
Oh my God! Yeah. So I am still in season one, okay. And because it's one of those shows where my wife and I, this is our show. So we only watch it when the two of us can watch it together. And even with the sheltering in place, it still takes a little bit of organization to do that. I've also been catching up on all kinds of movies. I've seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Very good.
Saw Jojo Rabbit.
Outstanding. Hilarious and outstanding.
I understand why those were both nominated
Awards, yep.
for Picture of the Year. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Rick Bucher joining us. They're really going to play horse on TV? Like, that just sounds like the dumbest idea of it.
I hope not. Yeah, Doug, I hope not.
It's one of those ideas that, like, I get. Somebody goes, like, what about a horse? Like, yeah, flush it out. And like, do we really want that broadcast on TV that's really part of their plan?
It's terrible TV. They've actually tried. They tried this once upon a time. And they had a version of it,
yeah.
I want to say, at the All-Star game. And it was horrendous. It's just, it's not good for TV. And so, and I think there are other ways to create competition and to create basketball competition in isolated places that are far more active. Like the skills challenge. Now that, if it's a timing thing, I could see where you measure that in two different places. And that has far more appeal to me. Horse is just, people don't know how tragically slow, and it's not. I think everybody thinks of the Larry Bird Magic Johnson McDonald's commercial.
Yes, that's what we all. Like, that's the image that we all have.
Exactly, and so you're thinking, oh, this is going to be interesting. It's not going to be that. So look. There have been a number of ideas. The idea that they would have an exhibition game, which is a great idea. It's not realistic at this stage. If you're going to be able to get guys together, don't do an exhibition. By that point, you're going to be playing. So, but I just don't think. Look, we're desperate. We're not that desperate.
The part of the horse thing is, well, one, NBA players make a ton of shots, right? Like that part is going to bore you to death. Like if you just do regular shots, they're going to make a lot. And then when they start trying the trick shots, I don't think people understand how long it takes most guys to make a trick shot, right?
Yep.
It's like those things are edited down. And so that a bunch of misses, like missed dunks in a dunk competition. And then they're not in the same place. So there's not the same pressure. There's no crowd. Look, the NBA desperately wants to get this thing back going. They don't have the benefit of golf to say we can start in September. So where are we in terms of, like, when is, have they set a drop dead date? We got to know by said date.
No, I have not. I have not heard a drop dead date at this stage, and I think that they're very leery of doing that either way. Either a drop dead date we can't do it, or a drop dead date that we are going to do it. I will say that a large reason for this is that As I've been told, it really comes down to the testing technology. If the technology is there, if the ability to test on a daily basis and to get immediate results is there, that is the number one function for making this happen. I believe that as much as this puts on the players, the owners in the league are going to have leverage. You're going to have financial leverage to get the players to come back and do this, even though the players are taking a pretty significant risk when it comes to injury, to be jumping in back from 2-3 months and then jumping into playoff level intensity in very short order. But all that said, there's a lot of money to be that the players would be potentially losing, and I think that's what's going to pull them back. But the number one thing is, in order to convince everyone, look, we're going to keep you safe, we're going to keep you away from the public, but we're going to keep it contained. They need to be able to test everybody that is involved on a daily basis and immediately get those results. And if anybody tests positive, then you take them out of the mix. If they can't, if they don't have that technical ability, then I don't think there's a realistic way that they can make this happen. But the belief is a month from now, 5 weeks from now, that testing capability will be there.
Yeah, and we'll see if they can get this vaccine in record time, because there's so much more investment than there had ever been before. There's a lot of different other kind of factors in that make this different than maybe any other vaccine ever. So we shall see. Rick Bucher joining us from Bleacher Report, Fox Sports 1. Okay, so what are teams doing? Like, are they preparing for all possibilities? Do they think they'll? Because I saw where Steve Kerr is like, I think our season's over. What are teams doing in terms of their preparation?
Yeah, look, the teams that don't have a shot, you know, like the Golden State Warriors or the Phoenix Suns or the New York Knicks, I mean, those teams are looking at it as they're preparing for the draft, anticipating that the draft will be sometime in August or September, but they're watching film and still anticipating that that's not going to be the width and breadth of what they're able to do in preparation for the draft. Now, anybody who's in the, you know, any from say the 10th spot up is looking at the possibility of having some sort of a playoff series in order to get in and decide the 8th spot or maybe even the 7th and 8th spot. It's something that the league has toyed with anyway, and from their conversations, this is a great time to experiment with it and see what it looks like and see how viable it is. And so those teams are, you know, providing everything they can for their players. They're comparing notes. I mean, this is a collective from what I've been told. Teams are talking to each other, not so much about free agency and those things, because all that, there's still a lot of movement there. Don't know when the draft is going to be, et cetera. But really talking with each other about, hey, if you know, what are you guys able to do? What are you doing in order to facilitate your players being able to stay in shape? What kind of equipment are you sending out? What kind of programs are you giving them? From what I understand, there's a lot of intel that's being shared among teams in order to protect their players as much as they can, to keep them as much in shape as they can, even though they're all still working out on their own, and in many cases, right, you know, working out at home without the normal access to, you know, anything more than, I mean, in some cases, you know, providing them with an elliptical or a spin bike or weights or whatever they can.
Rick Bucher joining us. Buke, you know, this is kind of fascinating to me. I don't know if it's fascinating to everybody. Rick Bucher joins us, Bleacher Report, Fox Sports 1, covers, obviously, the NBA. You know, I look at this thing and what the NBA looks like when we get back is fascinating. I want to start though with the documentary that's going to come out. Was it in a week and a half here? The Jordan documentary. Where were you in 98?
In 98, I was just beginning making the shift from the Washington Post to ESPN.
Okay.
Because that was the lockout. That was the lockout, and I made the move right at the tail end of that lockout.
Okay. So the Jordan's last year with the Bulls was just before that, right? Like he missed the lockout, and he retired after they won the NBA Finals in 1998. What do you remember about the team that I think everybody else will soon learn?
Oh my goodness! What a team they were, what a unit they were. I know this doesn't sound all that exciting, but they were in lockstep, and the confidence that was born. I mean, it's not learning so much about the Bulls. There will be some of that, but what you're going to learn, like all the people that talk about LeBron being better than Michael Jordan, I dare say when you watch this documentary, you go, oh, I see the difference now.
Yes.
Because there was a 24/7 intensity, drive, demand, urgency about Michael Jordan that, other than, honestly, Kobe Bryant, I've never seen it in any guy that I've covered. And even Kobe, I don't know that can quite compare to what Michael did. I mean, look, Michael. I made this comparison, and I saw this early on with Michael, in that with Magic and Bird would look at a game and figure out what is it that I can do that allows me to dominate this game. Right. Where do my abilities match with the opportunity against this particular opponent? Michael Jordan would choose which part of the game he decided to dominate. If he wanted to lock down Dan Majerle in the 93 finals, that's what he decided to do and said, you guys do the scoring in this particular game. I'm going to take him out. I'm going to choose to do that just because I can. Or, you know what? I'm going to go get 60 tonight. You know why? Because I can. But there was always that, I am going to dominate this game in some way or fashion, and I'm going to choose how I do it. I have not seen a player do it to that level since Michael Jordan. And LeBron has the capability of doing it.
But he's never done it.
He does it at times.
Yes.
He does it in moments. He does it in quarters. He does it at times. But Michael Jordan did it every time he stepped on the floor. Every time. I mean, it was relentless. And the Bulls knew it. And the Bulls went along with it because they knew Michael was everything that he said he was, and that he was always going to get them to the promised land if they followed suit.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, even the last game, everybody remembers the last shot, but he also, I think he scored a bucket, made two free throws, then he stole the ball from Karl Malone, then he made the last second shot. Like it was everything, which is, you know, he decided he was not going to go back to Chicago. He's going to win that last game on the road, and he did so. He's just really a remarkable person. We'll get into
Doug,
this. Go ahead.
I was there. I was there for that game, and the Jazz were keeping the lead. They had the lead for the most part.
Yes.
Throughout the second half, but it was only 5 or 7, and they had an opportunity to expand it. And I was saying to myself, "You guys are missing the opportunity. It's too close. It's still within range. Jordan's going to come back and win this because he had that ability. You had to put it so far out there that at that stage of his career, there wasn't enough time. That was the only way you were going to get it done. And they were lulled into a false sense of security because they had a 5-7 point lead.
Great stuff. Rick Bucher, Bleacher Report, Fox Sports 1, looking for a new rescue animal. Feel free to hit him on social media if you got a pup that you can't house anymore. Buke, great stuff. Enjoy the rainy weather and the time with your family. Appreciate you.
You got it, Doug.